Hey guys, Tim here, and I'm going to tell you how you can get all of my training programs for free. That's right, it's part of our new 12-month coaching program called Springboard, and it's designed to help gym owners who are stuck between $8,000 and $25,000 a month grow to $30,000 in stable recurring revenue. To see how Springboard can help your gym and to see which one of my training programs you get for free, visit gymownercoach.com. That's right, gymownercoach.com for more information. Now let's get into the show.
Listening to the Built to Grow podcast, delivering the knowledge in all things fitness business. We help gym owners win. Here are your hosts, Tim Lyons and Randy Engston.
Welcome back to another Built to Grow. Let's start over.
Let's not start over. I was just trying to make Randy laugh before we start the episode.
Welcome back to another episode of the Built to Grow podcast. I'm going to be your host today, Randy Engston, joined by Zach Columbia.
Yo.
Hello. Hello. This one's going to be a good one, guys. A little bit different take than some of our episodes. Today, we're going to kind of dive into a little bit more of the mindset of you as the owner, as well as, you know, the members of your team, how it affects the relationships, compensation, incentivization, a little bit of everything. But why don't I toss it to you to just kind of lay out give the lay of the land, kind of like what we're going to dive into and maybe why it's important for gym owners to kind of look through this lens.
Yeah, absolutely. Before I do that, I always love that the way you start the episodes is this is going to be a good one, or we got a good one for you.
We always
you're never like, this one's going to be okay.
Hey guys, yeah,
this one's going to be all right.
Just skip this episode.
So you as a gym owner are a business owner, which means that you have some tendencies that lean towards being an entrepreneur, and you have that mindset. And a lot of times what we see with gym owners is that they put things in place, or they treat their staff as if the staff is going to also have that entrepreneurial mindset and correct, be motivated by things that an entrepreneur would be motivated by. And they are not the same, you know? So if you think about, the fitness industry and the career of a coach, which is like a year on average, why is that? It's because it is a coach. If you were to go, you know, be working a big box gym, let's say I get hired as a coach, I go to, you know, an EOS, 24-hour fitness, Planet Fitness, whatever. Now as an individual, as an independent trainer there, even though I'm an employee of the gym, I have to go market myself. I have to go sell myself. I have to go deliver the service. And most coaches, when they get into the fitness industry, they're blind and naive to all the things outside of just like the training component, right? Like in exercise science, at school, like a program, you're getting your degree. They're not doing like marketing classes. They're not doing, you know, business 101 or anything like that. It's like, no, you're learning how to train people.
Correct, yeah.
And so for a lot of, you know, fitness professionals coming in, they're going, hey, I need a, I'm looking for a job, right? I'm not looking to be an entrepreneur. I'm not looking to start my own business yet. Maybe someday that's an aspiration that they have, but they're coming in and they're going like, hey, I need to pay my bills. I want to get some reps. I want to coach and I want to train people. And that's what I'm passionate about, is helping people.
Yeah.
If you as the business owner are saying, okay, well, the way that we're going to compensate you, the way that we're going to motivate you is through financial reward. And if you know, hit these certain metrics and KPIs, then you're going to make X amount. And then if you hit, you know, these KPIs, then it goes to this amount. And then we'll, you know, your bonus at this level. And then if you don't hit that, we're going to drop you back down to this. And for that coach, they're not looking for that. Sure. They're looking for something that's steady.
Stability.
Stability. I know what I'm making, and I show up to work and I do a really good job. And if a coach makes more money 1 month or whatever, and then they don't make the same amount, they're going like, what am I doing here?
Sure.
Right? Parkinson's law.
Yep.
You know, like if I make more money, I'm going to my budget is going to increase to that level. And so I might have 3 good months where it's seasonal in our business. Right. So like first quarter, man, I made a lot of money this month. And then it's the end of the second quarter and the coach is going, what am I doing here? Let me go get a real job where I can pay my bills and it's consistent.
Sure. Yeah.
So the whole, you know, kind of point of this is like, as a business owner, we need to understand the difference of mentalities. We need to understand that if our staff had that entrepreneurial spirit, then they would go start their own gym. They wouldn't be an employee of yours.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do we motivate and compensate our team based off of what is going to be something that motivates the staff, keeps them engaged, keeps them performing at a high level. And then how do we reward that?
There you go. You know? Yeah. Let's lay the foundation on a couple of things here. Like you mentioned, the entrepreneurial business owner, you know, one thing that we talk about all the time is the Robert Kiyosaki's cash flow quadrants.
Yes.
Right. So you, as the business owner, well, let's just lay the land, right? So top left, you got an employee. Most of America, most individuals end up with a job, right? And so these quadrants are essentially your relationship with accruing wealth, what you exchange in order for wealth, you know, to show up in your world, right? So employee, time for money, you know, whether it's salary or an hourly, it's an exchange of value in that regard. Then you've got top right, where you've got self-employed, and that's an individual. Many of you will find yourselves in this seat where you're the business owner, you own the business, but in order for the business to turn a revenue, some level of fulfillment is still on your plate.
You employee, you have a job.
Mm-hmm.
Self-employed, you own
the job.
The correct. Job.
Yep.
Yeah.
Imagine a place where growth is the only option and where challenges become opportunities. Welcome to the Iron Circle, the epitome of business acceleration, personal growth, and professional camaraderie. Across the country, from every corner of the fitness industry, business owners just like you have found their tribe.
And when you really think about putting these 30 heads together, well, there's probably 200-300 years of gym owner experience.
Here, we dream big and execute bigger. Our members speak of breakthroughs, of transformations, of stepping out of their comfort zones to redefine success.
We just had our highest month ever since almost 7 years in business. We're close to $46,000.
We've turned isolation into community, uncertainty into solid action plans, and struggles into growth.
We can attract those prospects, convert them to clients, have them raving about the experience of your services, even referring other clients, all while you're sleeping.
And for you to get the support and the knowledge and the experience to just accelerate up and beyond that, that's the ultimate hack.
Because together, we are more than gym owners. We are visionaries. We are pioneers. We are the Iron Circle.
Visit ironcircle.net to apply.
You know, and you see that even franchise owners, right, where you open up a business and you might have the support of a franchise, but in order for you to bring home money at the end of the day, you're still on the training floor, or you're handling the marketing and the consultation, some form of delivery within the business. Mm-hmm. Then the next one would be a business owner, which means that you as the business owner own the systems, and then you've got a staff structure that runs the systems. Your income is separate, you know, whether it be K-1 distributions, whether it be the profits from the business, things like that, but you have benefit as an owner separate of the time and energy that you're putting into the business. Think of like a turnkey business, right? You purchase something with capital. You don't have to go do the work in order for that revenue to continue to come in. That would be a true business owner. So the self-employed to business owner is the transition that we help a lot of gym owners with. It's a foundational belief of our coaching program, the Springboard, because ultimately our mission here is to help gym owners win. We think that once you get into that business owner realm, you then have the choice of where you want to work and if you want to work in the business. Not necessarily saying you have to or you don't have to, but understanding the relationship that you have with the business is what we're trying to get across here. And then ultimately you have the investor, and that's where, you know, you can take the profits from the business, invest it into real estate, tax strategy, whatever it may be, but your capital is earning additional capital by the use of that capital in, you know, whatever type of investment that you're the capital is making capital.
Your money is making money.
yeah,
your money's working for you.
You know, and to be clear, your personal portfolio, you may live in multiples. You might have investment opportunities and short-term rentals and other businesses and things like that. You might be self-employed in your gym. While doing that, you might be a business owner while having investments. You might be an employee of another business while being, you know, in either the self-employed or business owner role yourself. So it's not one and done. It's individualized, you know, across any type of relationship you have with wealth in your personal portfolio. Now, to Zach's point, you know, the employees of your business have a different relationship with how they accrue wealth versus you as being self-employed. Within that, what we found is through things like DISC assessments, personality types, the gym owner being more entrepreneurial focused or more entrepreneurial in mindset is different than the employee. And we see that through things like those personality tests and DISC assessments and so forth. We say it quite often, right? You as the gym owner might have started in that role. You might have been, for the lack of a better term, kind of forced to ascend into more of a entrepreneurial type role when you put your name on the line and took out a personal guarantee to start a business, right? The roles and responsibilities of a business owner are different than that of an employee. You're the visionary. You're the one that's looking ahead. You're responsible for the success of the business, not just today's task, you know, exchanging time for money in that role or the client result. But what we find is many coaches are extremely altruistic. If they could, they'd be helping clients and
for free.
Doing it for free, right? Yeah, exactly, yeah. Right? The wage is a bonus in their eyes. Obviously, it's a requirement for them to pay their bills and so forth. But the way they think is not quite often the same as you as the owner and the entrepreneur. And to Zach's point, we'll get into it a little bit deeper here, is when it comes to the roles and responsibilities that you're putting on their plate, when it comes to the incentivizations and things, you know, where they can bonus or even their pay structure and all of that stuff, we need to keep a congruence with their responsibilities, their impact to the business, what they're doing, and then, of course, how they're compensated alongside that. Why don't you kind of lay out, in our opinion, some of the, whether it be KPIs or areas that a coach would more likely see success when it comes to incentivizations and things like that versus assuming that, you know, growing revenue, maybe sales requirements, you know, new business requirements. A lot of the things that we see is, you know, like you laid out in the big box model, right? All of those, I would say like ancillary requirements, roles, responsibilities outside of just training a client and the result of the client being the focus. How do you see we structure a great, whether it be, let's call it an incentive program or compensation plan for a coach that doesn't kind of either muddy the waters or create a sense of, you know, disalignment with the things that their job actually impacts and it brings to the table?
So simplicity is always gonna win, right? If you start throwing financial numbers at a coach, they are likely going to pull back.
Okay.
It's not going to resonate with them. You might have one or two, and if you do a DISC assessment, you might say, oh, this coach is, you know, financially motivated. And then there's this whole education component on, now I have to, you know, coach up on the financials of the business. Very difficult to do from a coaching role. Now, if you have somebody that's your director, who's, you know, general manager, who's running things and doing sales, that person likely is financially motivated and going to understand the financials of the business. So I can tie KPIs to that.
Sure.
So like if I have a director, the easiest way for me to pay that director is a base salary and then performance bonus based off of delta. So like maybe it's quarterly delta. Is the business growing mm-hmm. or is the business not growing? And so that's that director's role is and responsibility is to grow the business. Correct. And so yeah. if I just look at my delta month over month or quarter over quarter, I can say, hey, yeah, you know, like this quarter, our delta increased by $6,000 EFT. I can bonus you on that. And so for a director, perfect. Okay. For a coach, if I'm going, hey, delta, you know, is growing, is not growing. They're, you know, like, what does that mean to them? It's not impacting their day to day, their KPI or their day to day tasks are indirectly related to that. It's not a direct correlation. So it's really hard sure. for them to, link their performance to that growth or decay. And then they could also blame like the other coaching staff as well. Like, hey man, like I did a phenomenal job training the clients on the training floor. And then, you know, this coach dropped the ball and we lost three, but I'm being punished for that.
There you go. Yeah.
And so as a manager, it's your director, it's your job to coach the coaches and oversee the coaches. So it's like, there's a direct correlation there for your coaching staff. Really the way that I recommend that you pay them is like base salary or hourly rate. It's steady. They know what they're making. And then we do quarterly bonuses based off of individual performance reviews. And so that's all like, hey, your individual, you know, performance. Now it ties to like the team overall, like the areas, the criteria that we're scoring them on. But quarterly, it's like developmental.
Mm-hmm.
Are you performing at a really high level as an individual? And then how is that contributing to the team performance? So that's the way I recommend doing it is like you want high performers on your staff. I'm going to assess this person individually. Now, if you want to also have like a team bonus, that's a great way to do it as well, is to say, hey guys, as a team, here's our quarterly bonus. It's going to be distributed amongst the staff. So maybe that's related to total members, or maybe it's related to delta members. And not necessarily a financial number, but it's like, it's easy as a coach for me to go, hey, we're at 250 members. Like our goal is 275 at the end of this quarter. And we're going to lose people. We're going to gain people, but every single person that we gain, I know, or every person that comes in and signs up, I know if I do a really good job training that person and they stick, like it's going to result in X for me and the team.
Yeah. I like that you said that too, because it's more in alignment with, like you said, like the indirect versus direct, like the coach's job is probably more in alignment with retention than it is new growth.
Retention. You know what yeah, I mean? 100% retention and, you know, doing a really good job of taking care of the clients while they're there, even if the lagging KPI is retention of that, right?
Yeah.
Meaning like, hey, if I do a poor job of training the client, eventually they're going to leave.
Mm-hmm.
You'd retie accountability activities to that as well. It's a lagging KPI. If I hold my members accountable today, then they're not going to cancel 60 days from now. And so I like that format where it's individual bonuses plus like a team incentive. And then the team is working cohesively on that. You said the other day on one of our coaching calls, like, high performers hate low performers.
Yeah. Right? The Nick Saban, Tim mentioned in his,
yes,
his
Nick Saban. Yeah. And low performers don't like high performers, right? Because a high performer is making a low performer look bad, and the high performer is like, hey, you know, pull your weight.
Yeah.
So if you do it, you have to be cautious about how you incentivize the coaches so that it doesn't create, like a negative team dynamic
yeah.
within your team culture.
Attention gym owners, are you ready to take your business to the next level?
Join our exclusive Facebook group, ProFit Accelerator, and unlock the potential to scale your gym to $30,000 a month and beyond. In the ProFit Accelerator group, we're going to focus solely on helping gym owners just like you win. We offer regular training sessions and share our best proven strategies to boost your business. Join us now by searching for ProFit Accelerator on Facebook. Be part of a community that's all about success and growth, the ProFit Accelerator, where gym owners thrive. All right, now let's get back to the show.
Yeah, so. That's a big deal. I mean, I use the example of like tip share or pooling tips, you know, in a bar industry or restaurant industry, right? Like same thing. No, or just even grading, like when you're in high school and you do a team project, right? And the one kid shows up and the stuff's due today and they did nothing.
Yeah.
You know, and everyone else had to pick up the slack, right?
You despise that person.
Everybody looks at that individual and is like, you know, they're so upset that they didn't carry their weight, you know? And then of course, if that was happening in your business, it's going to create a rift and it's going to negatively impact that team atmosphere, right? But that is a result of a misalignment of the roles, responsibilities, and probably the compensation plan that the team is on. To your point about like the individualized component, one thing that I wanted to add to it is gym owners, and I can't say it's that gross of a consistency across all gym owners, but this industry has a very good way of making our trainers the divas, if you know what I mean, right? Like where they're on the training floor for that hour stops, they're off the clock in their mind. And I know we have a list of roles and responsibilities that are still part of their job that aren't just happening when they've got a client facing them. You mentioned accountability, follow-ups, things like that, right? So why don't we give a couple of examples of like other things that our coaches are responsible for that have that trailing impact on retention and so forth, but it's not just the time that they're sharing, you know, coaching the client through that 1 hour.
Yeah, so I will put a coach on accountability and follow-ups with existing clients all day long. I will not put a coach on sales and front-end stuff. And I know that gyms do that. And like, hey, as a coach, you're responsible for calling, you know, like 50 leads, you know, a day or a week or whatever. And I'm like, is that really, are you going to get high-level performance out of that? Or is this coach going to be like, I got into this to train people, not make cold calls. Like I could go work at a call center if I wanted to do that. That coach is gone.
Yeah.
Like they're the clock is ticking for them to leave. But if I'm like, hey, one of your responsibilities as a coach is to on this cadence, you know, have 10 sit down phone calls with our current clients weekly and do check-ins with them, see how they're doing with their program, see how they're doing in life, see what they need. The coach will be all over that. Because that's, you know, just part of their psychology versus like, oh, I got to front end like hustle and make sales and call people. I don't know.
Yeah.
So that's one. You know, if you have time to lean, you have time to clean.
Yeah.
So,
there you go.
So if we have a down hour or something, like my coaching staff knows the environment is one of our standard items. So I want the dumbbells. It's super simple, but like I want the dumbbells, the weight numbers facing up.
I love it.
Walk around and make sure all of them are facing up.
Yeah.
Clean, wipe down equipment. Like make sure everything is tidy and in its place. Fill up the exercise balls. Like these are not, it's not rocket surgery, right? Yeah. I'm not going to give a coach rocket surgery. I'm going to give them like simple tasks that they can do and execute on that have an impact that impact the experience for the current clients. And then there's escalation points, right? So the front end is going to be like director sales team. Coaches are the delivery system, with a little bit of ascension. So, hey, I'm having a conversation with you as a client and you're telling me your back hurts. Well, great. Let's get you in for a stretch therapy session. That's their sales.
Yeah.
That's the level of sales that a coach does. Oh man, you're struggling with your nutrition. Let's schedule you for a nutrition consultation. It's upselling that. It's, hey, I know you had like amazing results on this last scan. Would you mind leaving us a Google review? Simple ask. Hey, like, yeah, absolutely. You know, you're telling me about your sister and she just moved here to town. Like, let's get her in for, she can come work out with you. Let's get her in for a free week. We have this referral program. that's their level of sales.
It's like soft sales.
You it's know what I mean, soft right? sales. It's me serving the client. It's altruistic, yep, right?
Exactly.
Then the escalation is where a coach ends is, hey, I'm, you know, unhappy. I'm going to cancel my membership. Okay. You're not handling that, right? You as the coach, or I want to cancel my membership and I don't want to have to pay this, you know, cancellation fee. I'm protecting my coach from that. Your job is be happy and deliver the training for the client and do what's best for the client. Once we hit that level, then, you know, director's taking over and we're going to manage that and be the bad guy if we have to be sure. The bad guy. Hopefully we can resolve it, but that's it, right? Like it's all around the delivery, the experience and the ascension for the client. And that's the coach's responsibility.
One thing there that I just want to clean up I'm sure in this situation, there's a handoff, right? So like, let's say the ascension portion of it, right? Hey, mm-hmm. somebody's a candidate for nutrition or a candidate for stretch or something like that, right? Coach introduces the conversation, but they're not taking that to the distance, are they? Or are they passing that, you know, are they introducing
possibly, it depends on what it is. But like for our staff, you know, we have Jolie's our nutrition coach. Mm-hmm. So if a client asks a coach like a nutrition question, the coach answers that question and then says, hey, do you want me to schedule you with Jolie for a nutrition consultation? So that's Jolie's special yep. specialty. And the whole team is going to respond the exact same way. Yeah. Here's kind of what, you know, I do or what I suggest, but you know, if you have nutrition questions, here's what you do.
There you go.
And the whole team knows here's our one nutrition. Like anybody asks, this is where they go.
Yeah.
And so it's the one specialized thing. You know, for stretch therapy, we have multiple coaches trained on that and able to deliver, but it's like, okay, yeah, you know what? Let's set you up for a stretch consultation. Doesn't matter who it's done by. It's just them scheduling it. So the follow-up is, okay, let me schedule this appointment.
Yeah. Yeah. And the reason I wanted to bring that up is because again, we don't have to coach our coach on the whole sales process of what that traditionally would be with somebody coming off the street or, you know, Jolie's specialty. And when she, you know, she's done, has that consultation, like coaches are unaware. They don't even have to know all of that. They have to be able to have the conversation to get to that. Like when we talk about the next thing, the yeah. next step, the next step's a consultation with Jolie.
Yeah.
So let's just create that opportunity.
And the coach isn't compensated for scheduling that nutrition consultation. They're doing it for the client. It's yeah. part of their job responsibility. So, you know, your coaching staff, the majority of your coaches are going to be much happier just having a steady income that they're making. And then, you know, little bonuses to just say like, hey, keep up the great work, or, you know, here's some incentive for you to continue to develop and grow. But that's it. It's not like they're losing anything or we're taking anything away from them. And I know this is a you know, kind of a struggle. Like you lose a member as a gym owner and you financially, you feel that because sure. now there's less income coming in. But if you pass that on to your coaching staff, you will never have a good team and you'll never have a team that sticks with you long-term because they have a different mindset.
Nailed it, man. Well, I think that it for you guys, I mean, I think it definitely can open up your eyes and what the homework should be, right? Go back to your business and make sure the roles and responsibilities that you're tasking your teams with are in alignment with what you want them to be doing, what they should be doing with maybe their beliefs and their mindset around what it is they bring to the table. We do see it every once in a while where, you know, coaches are tasked with things that really they probably shouldn't be, because it's just, you're probably doing that out of desperation or trying to share some of the work, but it's, the goal is to have everybody doing, like we used to say all the time, having the right people in the right seats of the bus, right? Keep your coaches, keeping clients happy, delivering a phenomenal result, staying in that kind of lane with a little bit of understanding of the business's needs, but not tasking them with the responsibility of the sales and some of those other things. But look at your compensation plan, look at your team structure, your staff structure, org charts, all of that type of stuff. But if you need help with any of this, this is exactly the stuff we talked about in our coaching program, Springboard. There's a link in the show notes. Jump on a call. You and I will dive into your business a little bit deeper and we'll see if the program's right for you. But anything else you want to add for today?
Yeah, I think one last thing is you want to treat your staff, you know, you want to create an entrepreneurial culture. And so what I mean by that is, like, most coaches are not going to be entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to have, you know, my team where it's structured and consistent for them. And here's the job responsibilities and here's how you're paid and, like, go do the job. However, I do want to have opportunities or the door open for opportunities for my staff to make more money if that's, you know, something they want to do. So a very simple example of that is, like, nutrition coaching. Mm-hmm. You probably have somebody on your team that's passionate about nutrition coaching. Okay, great. Go sell nutrition. You oversee, create that program, and we'll split it with you 50-50. Sell it for what you want. We'll support you in it. Like, you know, the staff will push clients to you to do that. And so it's not like go do this outside of the gym. It's you just, now you have 200 clients that you can market this to. Inside the four walls of our gym, it's going to benefit us. It's going to benefit you. It's going to benefit the clients. And so it's intrapreneur. It's inside the gym. Inside the business, you're creating something that's going to benefit us and you. And so create those environments for your, or that culture for your team. And then, you know, support them in it. If they want to do that, I'm not saying stifle their growth, but know that most of your coaching staff is not going to do that.
Sure.
You still want to have the opportunity for them, for that right person. But, you know, also you want to have, just understand, like, there's going to be coaches that are happy showing up training people.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So. All right, guys, well, take that, make some changes if you have to. Obviously the goal here is to help you win. Until next episode, keep changing lives. We'll see you on the next show.
All right. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Built to Grow podcast. If you want more help growing your business, join our free Facebook group, Profit Accelerator, helping training gyms grow to $30,000 a month and beyond. We'd love to see you there. Go check out the show notes for the link and keep building something great. And we'll see you in the next episode.